The March 24th regular work session is now commenced. First order of business is the roll call. Mr. Bear.
Here.
Mr. Escobar.
Here.
Mr. Hanselman.
Here.
Mr. Brannigan's here. Mr. Berman and Mr. East are not here. And we have Mr. Updike.
Here.
Okay. Next order of business is the approval of the minutes. We had work session meeting minutes of January 13th, regular session meetings of January 13th. Then we had the work session meeting minutes of January 27th. And we had some joint city council and planning commission work session minutes on March 10th. Would somebody like to advance a motion to approve or change?
They look good to me. I don't have any edits, so I would move approval of those four sets.
Oh, second.
Okay. All in favor of approving the minutes, signify by saying aye.
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 Hearing any opposed? Don't. Meeting minutes are approved. Okay.
Chair, I do not, I approve of the four, but the last one, the city council, I was absent, and so I abstained from that vote.
I'd be good.
Yeah, you weren't there. That's right. Okay, next is citizens' public comment. There's a public comment form available immediately inside the council chambers. Anyone who would like to address the Planning Commission on any matter not on the agenda will be given the opportunity after submitting a form. Each speaker should limit comments to 3 minutes. Normal disposition of these items will be at the next scheduled Planning Commission meeting. Have any forms? Don't see any forms. Okay. Next is the public hearing. And I got to read a script here. We don't have anybody on Zoom. Okay. This is the time set for a public hearing on a proposal to adopt or amend Newport Municipal Code, comprehensive plan, map inventories, land use regulations, or other policy documents that affect the entire city or a large portion of it. And we're going to be taking a look at file number 1-CP-25/1-Z-25, comprehensive plan and zone change for 1.48 acres at 840 Northeast Eiler Street. This statement applies to all hearings on the agenda. All testimony and evidence presented toward the request being heard must be directed toward the relevant criteria in the Newport Comprehensive Plan, Newport Municipal Code, or other land use regulations or standards which the speaker believes to apply to the decision. The failure of anyone to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the Planning Commission and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue will preclude appeal to the Land Use Board of Appeals, which is known as LUBA, based on that issue. An issue which may be the basis for an appeal to LUBA shall be raised not later than the close of the record at or following this evidentiary hearing. Such issue shall be raised and accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the city decision makers and the parties an adequate opportunity to respond to each issue. The failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions or approval with sufficient specificity to allow the city to respond to the issue precludes an action for damages in circuit court. Prior to the conclusion of a hearing, any participant may request an opportunity to present additional evidence arguments, or testimony regarding the application. If such a request is made, then the hearing will be continued to a date certain and a schedule set for submittal of additional testimony, a period for parties to respond to the new testimony, and a period whereby the applicant can provide final argument. At this time, I would ask commission members to disclose any actual or potential financial interest they may have related to this agenda item.
Site visit.
I drive past it several times a day.
Okay. If anyone present has an objection to the participation of any commissioner or the commission as a whole, please raise that objective now. I don't hear any.
Oh, come on.
Well, it shuts the meeting down because if one of us has to step aside, it's not a quorum anymore.
Right.
Everybody goes home and has an early beer.
Yeah.
We have out here.
The planning commission is required to hold at least one public hearing before making a recommendation to the city council on how to proceed with a legislative proposal. The city council will hold a public hearing at a later date at which it will consider the commission's recommendation and will take additional public testimony. There are a few announcements need to make. The hearing will proceed in the following order. First will be the staff report. Second will be public testimony. Then the record will close for public testimony. Commission will deliberate and have questions, and there'll be a commission recommendation. All testimony and evidence submitted, either oral and writing, must be directed toward the relevant issues. If any person believes that other issues apply in addition to those addressed in the staff report, those issues must be discussed while the record is open. If you fail to raise an issue on the record, supported by statements or evidence sufficient to give the city or other parties an opportunity to respond to the issue, you may be precluded from appealing on that issue to the Land Use Board of Appeals. And there are some sign-up cards at the entrance if anyone has filled those out. And when you're called to testify, please state your name and address for the record. Identify the issue to which your testimony is directed by stating a section of the ordinance, comprehensive plan, state statute, or other legal authority to which your evidence or arguments are directed. Ask everybody to avoid repetitive testimony. And we don't need to have any we don't need to have any demonstrations to support or oppositions to the testimony. So, that being said, first up is the director.
Thank you. Derek Tokos, Community Development Director. I'm going to go ahead and just bring a map up that I'll be referencing as we go along. And then when I'm done with my staff report, even though it's the public comment period, it'll be very important to give the applicant an opportunity to provide their testimony first.
Right.
So what we have here is, as pointed out, there are two applications. One is an amendment to the city's comprehensive plan map that would change the designation of the property you see right there outlined in red from low-density residential to high-density residential. And then the zone change would take the property from a combination of R1 and R2 to R3. So that takes it from low-density residential zoning designations to medium-density, high-density residential. So for the criteria for this, for the comprehensive plan map change, the criteria found in the administration of the comprehensive plan section, page 419, there's five criteria any one of which can be used to justify an amendment. First gets at, was there a change in goal or policy? The second one gets at, do we need to make the change to accommodate unpredicted population growth or changes, changes in housing conditions, changes in the economic environment, those types of needs. The third gets at, well, is a change needed for the orderly and economic provision of key public facilities? Fourth gets at the ability to serve properties without undue burden on the general population. And the last one gets at a compatibility of the change with the surrounding neighborhood and community. With respect to the zone change, there's really one criteria that applies. It has to do with, is it a public necessity and does it promote the general welfare of the community? There's one additional standard that's not in our codes, but it's in a state administrative rule. It's what we call the Transportation Planning Rule, or TPR. It's under OAR 660, Division 12-0060, which it requires that any time we entertain an amendment to a comprehensive plan or zoning map, that we confirm that that change is not going to result in a significant impact to a transportation facility, and I'll touch on what that means. So for the purpose of this application, the applicants submitted this. They intended to do additional development on their property. Given the terrain, the cost to extend utilities in, the cost of improving the roadway, Eiler, to provide access to this, the more units they can get, the better it positions them to be able to pull off the project in a cost-effective manner. They may have additional details to share on what they intend to develop, but the purpose for the request to go to an R3 specifically was to give them the ability to do fourplex or something comparable to that, which they can't do under the other zoning classifications. So when I turned my attention, and I included a detailed staff report in your packet, a chance to take a look at that. It covers all of these issues in more detail than I am going to right now. But when you turn your attention to the comprehensive plan policies, I think the compatibility with the surrounding neighborhood and community, that provision was met. There's really no need to go beyond it. Most of the other ones don't really get at what they're doing here. And I say that because we've already got a pretty significant block of R3 zoning right next to where they're looking to make that change. It's about 47 acres of R3 that extends all the way over to Avery and then down to the high school. So it's a pretty good block of comparably zoned land that's got a substantial amount of development on it, mixed densities. You'll see a little bit of multifamily scattered in amongst single family type development. You've got utilities in as well. But if this is ultimately approved, you'd see their property become R3, and it would be adjoin this right here along this boundary here. The R3 area, our utilities are sized to support that scale of development, so this is not going to put us in a position where we have undersized water mains or wastewater lines. So for these reasons, it meets the bar with respect to neighborhood compatibility. On the zone change, any additional housing we can get is positive. Be it market rate, smaller cottages, fourplexes, comes in a variety of different flavors. But our housing production strategy, our housing capacity analysis document, we've got a very, very tight housing market, and any additional supply is good supply. And so this change furthers that objective. It does give us a little bit more in the way of higher density, unconstrained developable land than what we have. We've got 155 acres, I think we documented in our housing capacity analysis, of unconstrained high density land for development. That's the lowest of the inventoried amounts we have, so getting a little bit more high density is a good thing. So that's a positive. When it comes to the transportation planning rule, that's intended to be applied at macro scale. I want to be real clear about it. It's kind of a big look. It tends to be an issue when you're dealing with a much larger request than what we're looking at right now. This is only a 1.48 acre, 1.5 acre, what do you want to call it, property here. It accesses onto 7th at Eiler and 7th. And 7th is a neighborhood collector that's been designed to handle a substantial amount of traffic, comparable densities, middle school, and others all funnel onto 7th. 7th has ample capacity to handle something like this. It's not going to force 7th to go from a neighborhood collector to an arterial or something of that nature. And that's what a significant effect would be. It would be forcing the reconstruction of that street, and it's a pertinent elements because of the volume of additional demand you place on that system. And that's just simply not going to happen here. At 1.48 acres, that property does not have the capacity to generate that level of demand. Now, if we were dealing with 100, 150, 200 acres, then that conversation starts to change. But not with a 1.5 acre site. So it's not going to have a significant impact on 7th. And in fact, that Safe Routes project that we're currently in design on, which will lead to improvements at the intersection there of Eiler, Harney, and 7th. So the safety of those that are crossing at that intersection at all sides, either pedestrians or cyclists, is going to be much improved. So taken in aggregate, they've met the criteria from our perspective for approval of a comprehensive plan map change and the zoning that they've requested. And our recommendation is that you pass this along with a favorable recommendation to the City Council. Any questions of staff?
I do. In your report, you indicate under the staff recommendation, on balance, the applicant has demonstrated the approval criteria have or can be satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
Can you summarize which criteria need to be satisfied that perhaps aren't set forth at the current application, in the current application? Is there something that you mm-hmm. suggest that the applicant comply with that isn't in their existing application?
No, the application as submitted meets the criteria. There's nothing additional that we would ask of them at this time.
Second question would be, you know, as we sit here years and years and years, we say we can't extend Harney to reach some buildable land to the north because of the cost. Is this going to eliminate Harney as a northbound arterial?
It doesn't eliminate Harney as a potential connection at some future point at all. It's unlikely that connection will be made because of the cost issues attributed to navigating the terrain you would have to navigate to get from this location around Forest Park up to basically tying back into Harney at Vic Creek Park.
Essentially, Harney would end at 7th Street.
Correct. That's where the alignment would go, be basically a widening of Eiler, which, you know, remember, the city owns the property just to the west side of Eiler here. Mm-hmm. So that connection could theoretically wrap around the applicant's property. I want to emphasize theoretically, we took a pretty hard look at it, and it was to the tune of $45 to $60 million to get it done. And this is not a state facility here, so that's cost prohibitive for that connection to be made. So we don't even though the Harney connection is in the TSP as a potential future connection, it's unlikely it's going to be built.
Does Eiler remain a public street?
Yes. Just a stub street, be public. It would be, we've talked to them, they would be building it to the shared street standards because it only serves a handful of, you know, units in there, what they would be constructing, whatever that number ultimately is. So that would be the 16-foot paved width with 4-foot shoulders.
And Eiler's right-of-way as it is currently is wide enough?
Yes, for that type of improvement, yeah.
Okay.
Who would fund... I mean, as I drive past there right now, it looks like there's minimal roadway, unimproved, who would fund it for paving, et cetera?
That would be the developer. And that's why it's important that they have the ability to put as many units in here as possible. They know they have additional costs they're going to have to bear. They've got some street improvement work. They've got utilities. Wastewater is the one that has to get sorted out. Water. And so those are all costs that they have to bear. And the more units they can get, you know, the better the chances are they can pencil it out and make it work.
Other questions from commission members?
I can defer anything else to the applicant.
Okay. Okay, we're ready. If we could have the applicant, I guess it's Lauren Jolin, come up, and you know, could be Patricia Jolin.
Can I accompany her?
Sure.
All right. I don't want to leave her up here by herself.
Okay. Oh. Well, I stated your name. Could you state it?
Yes, it's Patricia Patrick Jolene, and the address is P.O. Box 7, Newport, Oregon.
My name is Alex Jolene, and I am her son.
Ooh, okay. Okay, so kind of walk us through what it is you'd like to do, and then we'll ask you some questions.
So Derek pretty much made it pretty clear what we plan to do, but as you see the picture there, there is a residence at the very end of the road in which that will be removed. And we think that we can put at least three fourplexes there. And then the remaining part of Eiler Street from 7th to that final lot, we're hoping to put in individual units there, not fourplexes because the terrain just doesn't apply for it. So they would be individual, and I don't know how many tax lots I can get in there just yet, because a lot of that depends on the infrastructure, working with Central Lincoln PUD, the water, and then also the road. Because currently 840 Eiler Street, we are connected to the city, but we have a pump that pumps up the waste to 7th Street. So it looks like we have to have a pump station. Ooh. Yeah, it's going to be very expensive. So that's kind of the plan.
So the plan, excuse me, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Nope, that's it. Go ahead.
So your plan would be for three fourplexes, which would provide housing for 12 families, mm-hmm. and then an indeterminate number of individual structures depending upon the infrastructure costs and where you could place them.
Correct.
Would you see a maximum of maybe 20 units or 15 or, I mean, total? Because you got 12 planned right now.
Depends on how nice the city is and if we can get them in there. Our plan would be to have, like, little casitas, and then they have like a garage down below them. I just don't know how many I can put in there. I would like to get four fourplexes on the half an acre, which I think we can do. I don't want to make it so that it's just all building. I would like to have some green space because I know there's going to be families there. So I want to be able to try to make it appealing.
Then what about the parking?
Parking's not an issue. The casitas would have the garages down below. That's on the long part. And as far as the fourplex, we can have a designated area. Well, actually, we'll have a designated area, but we're also trying to put garages there as well, as much as we can. I lived here long enough. I know that a garage is very important, so.
So the fourplex is, at the conception stage, would include a garage for each unit.
I'd like to, yep. So they're going to be, you know, several levels, at least two for sure.
And with the fourplexes, we're going to have a common garbage, common dumpster, or are we plan, or as part of the plan to have Thompson's come in and
No. So I don't want the garbage truck to go down. I want to be able to have a facility at the very end, right there. Whoever's got that mouse who's pointing to it.
That would be me.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'd like to have that facility right there. So if you drive by it, you can see a lot of high voltage power lines.
Yeah.
So when we purchased that property, that was not on our preliminary title report. So we're working with PUD right now to see what we can do about that. But basically, it's land I can't use. I can't build on it. I can't do anything. But it doesn't say that I can't put a trash facility there, a nice one that you don't see. You know, it's like covered in shrubberies and everything like that. Because that's just not conducive to put a bunch of garbage cans where, you know, they have the truck come up there and, you know, it's just not conducive to do that. So the trash is going to be at the very end of that.
Oh, okay.
I have so many pictures through my travels of taking pictures of trash, you know, containers, I guess you call them, or whatever, enclosures, really pretty ones. So anyway, it's going to look nice.
So we'll also have, that's kind of, you know, an acre and a half long lot. You'll have some outside lighting.
Gosh, we get so much lighting from the school. Yes, it is.
Well, I don't drive by there.
I don't know. We didn't talk about that, Derek, and I don't know. Is that something that is required? Are you talking about, like, street lamps?
No, we're talking about pollution, light pollution.
Oh, light pollution. Well, I'm sorry.
Talking about, if you want to say, yeah, I mean, kind of some outdoor lights that light up that area that then would be dark sky.
I think with three fourplexes, there'd be some security lighting around.
There are some pathway and staircase lighting standards in the building code. That, I mean, they would just be part parcel of the reviewing of fourplexes, so that will be addressed as part of the process.
Okay.
So the
I'm sure we'll see it again.
Mm-hmm. You'll certainly hear from us again.
So the applicant, once if this proposal is approved, they would come back when they're ready to actually.
Yes, this is the first, I mean, kind of key piece to put the entitlement part in place, but they'll still be working on utility plans. They're going to work on their building plans. There are a number of other things they'll be doing to advance this to reality.
Oh, so we get to see Alex again.
Hell yeah.
And again and again and again. And I do want to thank Derek for coming to the site. I mean, it's one thing to talk over the phone, but both Derek and I believe engineer Mr. Beatty came out, and it was just really helpful to sit there and show them exactly what we wanted to do and everything. So I really appreciate their time on that.
You have other questions of the applicant?
So I know it's early in the process, but it sounds complex and expensive, given your utility challenges, the terrain challenges, et cetera. On the spectrum of affordability, where do you think this is going to land?
I have no idea. And affordability.
Haven't penciled anything together yet.
No, not yet. You have to remember that, you know, property taxes go up 3% every year, regardless. And then you've got the insurance factor. And the insurance has really, really taken a sharp turn because of the events that have happened in Southern California.
Yes.
So, I mean, I don't know if everybody knows this or not, but there are several, I would say dozens of properties in Newport that are undergoing an audit. So if it's just not picture perfect, the insurance company is pulling it. So, you know, we have to be very mindful of that. I mean, I want it well built. I want it, you know, structured so that emergency services can get there all the time. That's why I really want garages, so people park in the garage and you don't have the streets cluttered with parking. That's one of the things I'm just really, really serious about. I mean, they've got to do that. Nothing is worse than having a fire truck roll up and you can't even get to the property. So anyway, we're taking that into consideration, but I do not have any numbers at all yet.
So I assume you're not at the point of hiring an architect to help design this?
Just yet, no. We're working on this, the zoning, and then the next is the infrastructure. That's the big one. I got to see how much they can give us. I know we're going to have all of our electricity underground. Everything will be underground. And the pump station, that just kind of throws a monkey wrench. I mean, if there's some way that I can get away from that, I will do it. But yeah, that's a big deal.
Yeah, pump stations are expensive. Yeah, I agree. Okay, any other questions? Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
At this point in time, we ask anybody who's opposed to come up. Do we have any opposition? I don't hear any opposition. Is there anybody else who would like to testify? Yay, nay, or anything? Then I assume you're waiving your rebuttal.
If you have any questions or anything.
Okay. So at this point in time, testimony is closed. And what we need to do, the commission here, we need to have a discussion and question on regarding the application, and we're recommending to the city council. It's a city council issue to ultimately approve or decline this thing. So knowing that, we'll start with Mr. Updike.
I don't have any concerns in terms of compatibility with either transportation or the land use around it. It is a challenging site, no question. I think it's, Derek, a kind of a real life example, though, of the limits to which all of our affordability discussions and the tools in our toolbox, how many tools do we have that we can offer this particular developer, call you when a developer, to change that affordability question. And I suspect not enough.
Right.
But it would be good to hear as this goes forward, in case it doesn't come back to us, whether there was a tool in the box or something you wish you had.
Mr. Hanselman.
Well, I think, you know, as a zoning request, this fits the area that the property resides in. There's nothing unusual about this request. What you do with the property down the line will be of more concern to us when you start determining how many residences you want in and their arrangement, et cetera. We touched upon the waste management, which is near and dear to us. We'll certainly bend your ear about dark skies when you come to us with the one building and just any light, it will be discussed. But we're a friendly group and we do want development. And we hope that you can come back at some point with a really nice designed neighborhood, so to speak, or streetscape and all. So I wish you well in this. I'm fine with it.
Okay. Braulio.
I drive past there, you know, several times a day because I live on the hill on top of the middle school. And I think this development would be worthwhile because it's frankly an eyesore as you go down right now. You see people dumping both on the applicant's property, and I think the city has a lot adjacent to it, and there's debris there. So combine that with the pressing need for housing, I'm strongly in favor of this. I think we had a development a couple months ago. They said it was going to be workforce housing. What was it, $600,000 a piece?
I don't remember that.
Right there in the middle of town. Okay, anyway, I'm strongly in favor of this proposal.
Robert.
I like it. It's going to cost, she's right, it's pump station's gonna be spendy. The infrastructure as well, and I like the underground utilities. It's a good project.
Okay. I also think it's a very good project, and I certainly hope that the penciling out works, because we would like to have the Jodling family come back, maybe have more members up here than just Alex. You know, there's a couple other members sitting back there that could, we'll get more chairs up here, so.
How about Jim to come by?
Yeah, there we go. Okay, so it's, I'm all in favor too. So all in favor of, who would like to make a recommendation?
I'll make a recommendation. I move that we recommend to the city council that the plan 1CP-25 and 1Z25 forwarded to the city council with a positive recommendation from the planning commission.
I will second that.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? No opposition? We recommend it go forward. Get the pencils out. See how much you can get out of the city to help you with this. Okay. That's done. We, number five is director comments.
Yeah, last item here, just.
Yeah.
Yep. Just two things. Just I included in your packet, and we'll try to keep you abreast of the goal 18 exception that gets at Beverly Beach. If you're familiar with that, you know, that's an area where, you know, they may soon lose part of the highway as it continues to erode down road in that area. And this goal exception would open the door for some different types of remediation as the state, Oregon Department of Transportation, is trying to do everything they can to keep this vital facility open. So we'll see how that progresses as it goes through the county's review process. One thing our elected officials, the city council, made clear is that they wanted to stay abreast of this too. If there's a point in time where local governments have an opportunity to provide comment and on this type of request, because, you know, 101 is economic lifeblood for our community, and if it's shut down, you know, for an extended period of time, because, and they can't repair it in a reasonable manner, it's going to have a big impact on us. So anyway, something to just keep an eye on. Right now, I think the state really only has the resources to work through the goal exception process. I haven't heard that they've mustered any resources for any major repair or work in that location that would follow this.
Or even design, right?
Right, yeah. So they're very preliminary here, just trying to work through the goal exception piece. The other thing is, I included in, it's probably in your work session packet, an updated work program.
Yep.
So that's just for your benefit. And it's a living document, as you all know. If there's something that you do want to see on this at some point in time, feel free to let me know or just reach out to me individually. That's fine too.
Did I see correctly that on the Memorial Day week, we're going to have a Tuesday meeting instead of a Monday meeting?
That is correct. Plan? Yeah.
Okay.
It'll be a Tuesday meeting. Thank you.
I wonder how deep the asphalt is.
22 feet. Last time it was measured, 22 feet.
It was 22 feet.
22 feet.
Are you kidding?
No, I am not kidding.
Oh, you mean you're talking about the area north of Beverly Beach that they continue to fill?
Well, yeah. That's the one closest to
the closest to town that says bump, and you better slow down.
Yeah, right. Got it.
One up by Beverly Beach is 22 feet, and that was a measurement. That measurement
Bill,
was taken
I
4
had
years
you
ago.
Gabble it.
So it's deeper now.
Okay.
All the,
there's enough asphalt to take care of.